Hello, Kansas City. If you just tuned in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I am filling in here for the lovely Maria Vasquez-Boyd on Art Speak Radio. Today we have an exciting show. We have a number of guests here going to talk about what's going on in the Kansas City community and the art scene. So stay tuned for that here from 12 to 1. So we're going to start off with Israel Garcia.
Hi.
Welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome
Thank
to KKFI.
For having me.
It's nice to have you here, and yeah, I'm taking Marie's place, so I think we'll be able to do this well. So tell us about what you've got going on. You're an artist in the community, and you've got a lot of things going on, but kind of flourish.
I am, yes. I am actually the creative director, curator for Garcia Square Contemporary, which is a gallery in the Crossroads Arts okay. District. Here in Kansas City, Missouri. So we're on 18th and Baltimore.
Okay.
And this show, I think it's one of the ones that we're speaking of today. It's a embroidery show that I had brought in from Guatemala.
Wow. There's quite a story about how you came to be doing this. Why don't you inform our listeners about
Yeah, well, basically, I just got married here in
okay.
April.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, to my lovely wife, Emily. So we decided to go ahead and she actually had an aunt that lived in Guatemala. So that's kind of what happened to be our first destination.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we visited my family in Mexico for a little bit, and then we headed to Guatemala. And I think myself being a curator, you're a curator 24/7, and you're always constantly looking for things that you could bring back to Kansas City. So my gallery is actually focused on Latin American artists. Mm-hmm. So as I was visiting Central America at this time, I kept my eyes open ultimately.
Sure.
And I think the story of this exhibit was basically a birth of that. You know, I think it was just myself and my wife and her aunt, Gloria. We just went to a restaurant, had dinner, and, you know, really it was moody. It was low lit, but I could tell there was something going on in the walls above mm-hmm. the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that's where my interest peaked
mm-hmm.
and came back the next day to take a closer look at what was actually mm-hmm. there.
Wow. And what did you find?
So I found this work of this amazing artist, which is his name is Antonio
mm-hmm.
Ramirez Sosov, and he had been a lumberjack earlier in his life, and, you know, he had tried to do wood carvings, but ultimately, I think in his 50s is when he began to teach himself how to embroider.
Wow.
And, you know, I think what's set him...
That's not easy to do.
It's not, no. And I think the lovely thing about this community is that it just has a long tradition of weaving mm-hmm. and embroidering. Right. So I think all the natural resources were already mm-hmm. there. They grow their own cotton.
Right, yeah.
They spin it, they dye it, and it's all natural dye. So I thought that alone made embroideries in right. general, coming from that area, amazing. But I think for him, being male in a female dominated tradition
right.
And that he taught himself so late in his life
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think he was able to, and what that did set him aside is just the storytelling he was mm-hmm. doing there in Guatemala. Their weavings and their embroideries are very geometric
right.
or
right.
you know yeah. very colorful as far as birds and flowers, but there wasn't necessarily a narrative being told
mm-hmm.
and I think with his work he really stepped out of that box and started telling his own stories
right.
through the embroidery.
Oh, okay. So could you maybe describe, give our listeners an example of what his embroidery kind of looks like?
Yeah, well, his embroidery is really everyday life. You
okay.
know, he really depicted traditionals,
mm-hmm.
Any religious festivals.
Mm-hmm.
He depicted those as well. The relationships between how a young man will flirt with a young woman.
Okay.
But it's very traditional. You know, these are indigenous communities that have long tradition of how they go about doing things,
right.
and this is just like a small peek into their life.
I see. And you were saying the difference between what he was doing and their traditional kind of geometric shapes and stuff like that. And you're talking about the geometric shapes and the traditional kind of colors and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Right.
So this is a departure from that?
It is. It's a large departure because it was for the first time, it was narrative-based. You know, he was telling stories. He was depicting their everyday life, where the other ones were just very beautiful, but just very geometric, a bunch of flowers, a bunch of birds, but really didn't have a story, per se, depicting on them. So I think it's where he, and I think that he was able to do it so late in his life, and I think because he was able to do it so late in his life, he wasn't really producing what somebody would think of that would be circling kind of around the tourist environment. You know, that stepped away from the point of sale to really just depicting the stories that he had to tell.
Wow. So, and you've been doing this a while. So tell, give us a little bit of background of yourself and how you came to be doing this.
Yeah, well, I actually migrated to Kansas City from California, L.A., very early on, about 97, and I think about those years is when I met Davin, you know, back at the Dirt Gallery, so he's kind of becoming up. So yeah, so I think we've known each other for a long time, and I think it's the birth of that, you know, that's when I really got introduced to the Kansas City art scene, and really decided to make Kansas City my home. Right. You know, I stuck around, and I think slowly I have been an exhibiting artist, so I do still exhibit, I'm still a maker, and still do my studio work, but Garcia Squared really was a birth of the, there was a lack of representation here in Kansas City of Latin American artists and their works. So I think I really established Garcia Squared as that. You know, our focus is Latin American artists that are national and international artists that basically I go visit their studios and decide whether it's a work that I want to bring into Kansas City. So I think it's really more to be... to expose other artists that wouldn't be showing in Kansas City otherwise, you know, because I do believe that for ourselves as Latin Americans or Latinos, we are not a monolithic culture. So I think that, you know, I really wanted to show the diversity and the fact that there are other voices out there that that we could really relate to here in Kansas City in the Midwest.
Wow, you're doing that. And you got in, and this is going to be this weekend, right, coming up?
Right. So for, this is the coming first Friday, and I think, you know, it's an opening, and we're going to have some music, some indigenous music, and some indigenous dance also being presented. So I think for myself, I think in the way I curate, in the way I put these shows together is really enrich all the senses. You know, I don't want it only to be visual. I really want to you coming into my space to have an experience of the show. You know, to be to leave with an experience as opposed to just kind of
it's more,
a touch and
go. More than just going through a gallery and walking around.
Right. It's so. Definitely more than that, and definitely more than a glass of wine.
I get you. So. And I'm curious, is any of this work available for sale?
It's not. Actually, this is a private collection from a proprietor, which is David Glanville and family there in Guatemala. So I was there for a about nine days, and it's really the time frame that I'd had really to figure out the logistics of how to go ahead and get this loan of this collection and transport it from Guatemala here.
Safely and do all that.
Safely back as well.
Okay. Wow. So, was it your first time to Guatemala at all?
It was. This is actually, this was my first time in Guatemala.
So have you been back since?
I haven't been back since. So I brought, the show was brought here this summer and installed. And then I take it back in December.
So when you're doing this, you went down to Guatemala and you kind of discovered this artwork and you're bringing it back to Kansas City for a gallery. Do you go to other parts of the world or any, or just parts of the United States or other parts of the world? Have you?
Yeah, so I think for me, I've actually experienced, you know, having shows from Cuba, having shows from Colombia, Ecuador. So I definitely try to get out there as much as possible as far as getting into the countries. A lot of them are actually, some of the artists that I have shown are actually based either in Kansas City or surrounding areas, but they are still origins from South America or Central America. So, yeah, so for me, it's definitely experiencing the culture, but also the contemporary work that they're producing while they're here. Mm-hmm. Most of them are here temporarily. Either they're here at the Art Institute for their 4 years and then go back home. So depending on how our lives cross is kind of how it's curated.
That's kind of neat, though. It's kind of neat what you're doing. And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Israel Garcia, and he has it's called Garcia Squared Contemporary, right?
Correct.
And that's located
on 18th and Baltimore, so it's 115 West 18th Street.
Okay.
So it's right across sections of 18th and Baltimore in the Crossroads Arts District.
Okay. Do you have a website or anything, or listeners might want to go?
Yeah, so we have Garcia Squared on Facebook for sure. I think that tends to be really that social media and our connection to our patrons, and definitely our website is www.garciasquared.com.
I see. And you obviously, the gallery is going to be open for First Fridays. Is it just open for First Fridays? Is it open like Monday through Friday?
Yeah, well, we are a grassroots gallery, which means that, you know, we depend on our interns and we depend on our volunteers. So I think for us, it does work best when we have appointments. So I think appointments for our gallery is really the best way to get to everybody that really wants to come in and see the show when it's not during our hours.
I see. So while this sounds like a really exciting, it sounds like you've got some really exciting shows that you put together here. So, but if you just, like I said, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Israel Garcia. He's got a show coming up this first Friday, and they're going to display some embroidery from Guatemala, so that should be really neat. And it's going to be a lot of pieces. Going
to
be
So there's 28 pieces to the show and one installation. So this is really a retrospective about 30 years of his life.
Okay.
He passed away in 2014. Okay. So I think that this show really is a tribute to his work and his life and what he was able to do beyond his limitations.
Is it all like hanging fabric pictures or?
Yes, so there are multiples. There's a central installation which really shows the artist's hand. So you can see the front and the back of the embroidery piece. Right. You can see how he began his process drawing on the piece and how he actually edited.
Right.
Where, you know, even though he drew the image, he didn't follow through. Right. So I think that was very important to me to be able to show both sides of the embroideries and show the artist's process and the artist's hand.
Pretty neat. So like you said, this is this weekend. And give us his name again, and I'll kind of...
So it's Antonio Ramirez Soso.
Okay.
And like I said, he is... And they're basically the indigenous, so it's a branch of the Mayan culture.
Okay.
So I think it's definitely... my number is 816-916-4266, and really it's just calling in for an appointment and a viewing.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing that information with us and giving us our listeners. Let us know what's going on this weekend in the Crossroads District.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to play a spot, and next up we've got another guest. We're going to talk to him about what else is going on in the art scene here. I think we got Arterial Echoes is the event coming up, so we're going to get the details about that here in a second. So once again, thank you for coming in and sharing your details for your show coming up. And good luck.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Hello, folks. If you just tuned in, my name is John Todd. I'm filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd here on Art Speak Radio today, and our next guest is Davin Watney. He's going to talk to us about Arterial Echoes coming up at UMKC Gallery of Fine Arts. Welcome to KKFI.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate you having me. I'm the director of the UMKC Gallery of Art, and we have an exhibition that's open in September. So it's September 8th, and it goes till October the 20th. And it's called Arterial Echoes, Three Generations of Creative Mentoring. Yeah.
And I'm reading the notes. It features 7 young KC student art faculty members showing their art.
Let me give you the premise here. So I'm going to start by, because I think the best way to sum it up is the first line in the introduction to our catalog. And this is written by Christina Albu. She is a colleague in the art history department. So this exhibition invites us to consider affinities among artworks that belong to closely interconnected generations of artists. So what that means is that we have designed an exhibition that shows the interconnections between three generations of artists mentoring artists. So basically it's a kind of a spin on a faculty show. So we have seven faculty members. Each faculty member chose a mentor who had mentored them, mm-hmm. and then an artist that they have mentored. So you get to see the thread of those of three generations together.
That is neat. Yeah. And like you say, you're part of the UMKC Gallery of Fine Arts. Where is that located for our listeners who try to find
it? Sure. It's a little tricky. It is. It's a little tricky. So we are located just west of the Miller Nichols Library. That's kind of like a big landmark on campus. And so we're in the Fine Arts Building on the second floor. But you can go to our website, which is info.umkc.edu/gallery, and there's directions in there, and mm-hmm. you know, because it can be a little tricky. We're trying to make it more clear with signage. There's signs on the doors now and stuff like that can kind of lead viewers in there.
Okay, and like you said, it runs from September 8th to October 28th, and is that every day anybody can go in?
Yeah, you know, we have hours, and they do kind of range because of you know, the schedule is based on our graduate assistants and our work study. But, you know, generally we keep a pretty good, you know, Monday through Friday schedule. It may vary. Sometimes we open at 10, sometimes we open at 9. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we go till 5, sometimes we go till 6. The best way to do it is to kind of check on the website and see what the hours are, because they do change from semester to semester, because, you know, it's part of a university, so everything is education-based. So the people running it, you know, they're students, they're graduate students, you know, so we got to work around their academic schedules, you know, and mine.
And so it's coming up, and it's already running right now.
Yes, correct.
September 8th through October 28th. Is this an original idea, this thing, mentoring?
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't say it's entirely original, but the idea came from the chair of our department, Barry Anderson. And basically, we're kind of reacting to feedback that we get from our students, in which they're you know, expressing to us that they would like to see a faculty show. A lot of art departments in different universities will have faculty shows from time to time. Mm-hmm. So there was this request of like, hey, how about you guys do a faculty show? And what about an alumni show? So this is a chance for us to, you know, once we had some clearings on the schedule of like, well, that's interesting. How can we do something that's kind of a spin on a faculty show? Because sometimes faculty shows can be a bit stale, because there's the only connection between the works is that everyone works in the same department. You know, there's multiple mediums going on. There's multiple concepts and, you know, formal you know, investigations and those kind of things. But this is a way of kind of like connecting it all, and also kind of bringing it back to a pedagogical, you know, environment or atmosphere, you know.
So if our listeners were to attend, what would they expect? What kind of experience are they going to have?
Well, they're going to see multiple mediums. So painting, photography, installation, video, animation, sculpture. So, and I think what the viewers will find exciting is this kind of this thread through the works. You know, be they aesthetic threads or conceptual threads or formal threads. But, you know, you may know the faculty member from the community or whatever, but then you can see like, oh, so this is works by someone who is mentoring or teaching that person, you know, and then what does that, you know, and then what's the generation after that look like? I'm hoping that'll kind of like illuminate a little bit of like how art is taught, because it's tricky. You know, it's not a straightforward medium like other disciplines, in which, you know, there's a lot written about it, mm-hmm. but the actual execution and process in teaching art it's not so straightforward, and I think every artist has a different approach to it, you know. All the work that's in the exhibition, and then there's little introduction essays that are from Kansas City alum. So these are from recent graduates from the art history department, mm-hmm. you know, who are contributing. So, It's a great collection. It's a great kind of like catalog that features everybody in the UMKC family.
And Arterial Echoes. Now, that's kind of a play on the theme, but who came up with that?
That's another Barry Anderson. Oh, yeah, he came up with that. I mean, we really batted it around. You know, can we all kind of sat in in our faculty meetings and we're like, well, what are some words here? You know, so we kind of played with different words. I think we finally kind of landed on this one, but, you know, I'll give Barry a lot of credit for that. But, you know, we were trying to think of, like, how do generations of mentoring kind of spread apart or spread out? Because we're talking about artists from who may have ended up in Kansas City, but then have ventured on. And then, you know, us as faculty members, we come from different regions. We studied in different regions, both nationally and even internationally. So, you know, it's got quite a reach.
So how did you come to do this at UMKC? How did you find yourself there?
Well, I've been an artist in the community for almost 26 years. Yeah, so I've been an artist here in the community for a while. And then I ran the Dirt Gallery, which Israel had mentioned, which is great. So I was running that in the late 90s. And then after that, after we kind of closed our doors in, like, I think around 2002 or something like that, I started teaching at UMKC as an adjunct. Okay. And then they built their gallery had started to become a bit dormant, and they wanted to kind of resurrect it. And so they put a position out in which, you know, there was a teaching component and also the direct, you know, being a director of the gallery. So, you know, I just kind of jumped on that because I was already familiar with that department. And it just turned out to be a really great, you know, great position for me. And I think, you know, transitioning from the Dirt Gallery, which was an alternative gallery, an artist run, you know, self-sufficient or, you know, barely self-sufficient, to something that's more academic, I think is interesting because the challenges, as probably Israel knows, the challenges of running a gallery is, like, you got to have income. Right. And sometimes that influences the work that you exhibit, you know, and I never wanted the Dirt Gallery to be hampered by the commercial aspects. So moving into an academic realm, you don't have those pressures either. You know, the work can be experimental, it can be controversial, it can be life-changing, it could be, you know, all those things, and you're not pressured with sales.
Right.
You know, nothing wrong with sales. We all like sales, but you know, and there's always an educational
commissions and a deadline. And
exactly.
You know, and you know, sometimes it affects the artist's creativity, you know, or the freedom of it. It's true.
So. Especially in an academic setting.
Right. So,
yeah.
It's pretty neat. So we're talking with Davin Watney.
Yep.
And he's giving us the details about Arterial Echoes at UMKC's Gallery of Fine Arts. And that's running from September 8th through October 28th, so it's quite a good time. And it's down at UMKC Gallery of Fine Arts building at, I think I've got 5015 Homes. And you said it's west of the
Miller-Nichols Library. Yep.
So if you find the Miller-Nichols Library, just go west.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look for the Fine Arts building, it's a kind of a really great classic stone building. And on the door there, it says UMKC Gallery of Art and a little arrow. So,
cool. And so you obviously have shows on a regular basis here. So what kind of other shows would our...
Well, we... you know, they're very diverse. We have a lot of built-in programming with the department. So we have graduating master's thesis exhibitions, and then we have our annual student exhibition. And between those, I like to pepper different things. I put in usually a local artist. So local artist Katie McRoberts will be showing in January. And then I also try and get like a national component, so somebody from out of town. So this really interesting digital artist named Seamus Clissett. And he's from the Brooklyn, New York area. And then an old alumni from Kansas City Art Institute, where I had gone to school, Chris Kinkey, I think we're going to be showing his work too. So, you know, it's pretty diverse. You know, every year is something different. Okay. You know,
so if this is something you're interested in and attending, and obviously you have this event, you have other things. So if you're interested in the art community and stuff like that, it's something to look into. Certainly,
absolutely.
And you said you have a website and all that. Why don't we give our listeners that?
Sure, I'll give the website again, and you can always just Google UMKC Gallery of Art. But it's info.umkc.edu/gallery.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing your information with us.
Thank
I didn't
you,
know
John.
If you had any other information you want to tell our listeners.
Well, I don't know if we got the time. I can run down the list of works, but it's a lot. It's 21 artists, but I can start with the...
give them a shout-out.
Okay, I'll go quick. So we have Kati Toivonen and her mentor, Stephen DiRado, and mentee, Sarah Crayley. We have Paul Tosh, Ollie Fancher, Danny Stanton, Elijah Gowan, Patrick Nagatani, Leonardo Giraldo, Barry Anderson, Lawrence McFarlane, Danella Sarova, Davin Watney, Timothy App, Andrew McAvey, Ricky Allman, Hyunmi Lee, Sopir Touch, Hye-Young Shin, Adele Henderson, and Andrew Julo. Oh, all right, I fit it in.
Give them all credit.
Yes, it's a wonderful show. So if that's the kind of thing you're interested in, we'd love to see you down there.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing the information
thank you,
with
John.
Us. We're going to play a couple spots, and then we're going to have our next guest come up here.
So great. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I am filling in here for Maria Vasquez-Boyd on Art Speak Radio. We've got two new guests. We've got Mary Frances Wagner, and we've got Greg Field. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is not your first time, obviously, to KKFI or to Art Speak Radio, so it's your first time with interviewing me. So you've got this thing coming up, the new issue of the I-70 Review. Is that right?
Yes. We're having our release party Friday at the Writer's Place at 7. Welcome. Anyone is welcome to come. It'll be an evening of socializing and eating, drinking, and a short reading of the contributors. And we have it every year, the last Friday in September, and it is in celebration of the new issue. We only put out one issue a year. And this year, our issue features 97 writers, both poetry, primarily poetry, but we also have some short fiction, and occasionally we do have one or two nonfiction pieces. And our editors for this magazine, two of them could not be here today. In addition to Greg, Gary Licklider and Jan Duncan O'Neill, and I all serve as co-editors for the magazine.
And this event is at the Writer's Place Friday, September 30th, right? And it starts at 7 o'clock. And the Writer's Place is located at 3607 Pennsylvania here in Kansas.
Correct.
City. So it's just not too far away here, is it?
No. It's just a quick jump over.
So, and tell us, if our listeners aren't aware of the I-70 Review, you've been giving us a little bit of background. How did it come to be? Is this something that your idea?
Gary Licklider started it several years ago, and then he felt like he could not, he wanted to elevate it and move it forward, but he couldn't do it alone. So Greg and I and Jan volunteered to help, and this will be our fifth year with the magazine, and we went to a Perfect Bound production, and like this issue has over 200 pages, so it's a much bigger issue than what he originally started with many years ago.
I see.
It also has some black and white drawings and photographs in it throughout, as well as the writing. We also feature in each issue two or three writers. This year, for 2016 issue, we're featuring Rebecca Aronson, Jenny Mulberg, and Chase Twitzel. And we're really happy to have them in there.
So if somebody was listening to listen, when the listeners, they wanted to submit something to your I-70 Review, how was the process? How does that work?
Well, they would go to our website, and there are submission guidelines on the website, and it tells them how to submit. And we the submissions are by email to our I-70 Gmail account. And we take both poetry and fiction, and there are limitations on what you can submit, but that's all in the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And then our reading period is from July 1st to December 31st. And then Greg can, there's a great deal more on our website that Greg can tell you about because he maintains it.
Okay. We also have Greg Field here from the I-70 Review, and he's going to kind of fill us.
On the website, you'll have any news, anything recent, like a list of the pushcart nominees that we put up, and you'll also find the submission guidelines, which goes into much greater detail on how to submit to the magazine, and you'll find a featured author, a featured poet usually, and we have four a year, essentially four different poets that we choose that have been published in the magazine, and we put them up. Then we also have an archive of all the past featured poets, and then we have links to other literary magazines, etc.
It's called the I-70 Review. I'm guessing that it's is it writers from the Kansas City area?
No. It's we have international writers, actually.
That's what I was curious.
We have we've published writers from Russia and
UK.
I-70 being because we have the Interstate 70 here in Kansas.
But it actually goes through many states.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That was my curiosity.
And as of today, we have a new featured writer, but our last featured writer was Alice Fryman, who lives in Georgia, so that's not anywhere near Kansas City. Today, Catherine Nuremberger, who is from Columbia, Missouri, is going up as our next featured writer.
Wow. And it's like you said, it's Friday, September 30th, and it's at 7 o'clock at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania, KCMO. And you kind of give us a description of what to expect. If our listeners were to attend, what would they experience at this event?
Well, they would get to meet a lot of writers. A lot of writers show up at this, some of them curious to find out what exactly we do publish and to meet new writers because they would like to network with some new people. Also, writers that know each other get to visit and see each other because people come in from all over. We have people come in from out of town, all over Kansas, some from Nebraska, some have come all the way from Alabama. I mean, it just depends on whether they can make the trip. And then we distribute the new issue. All contributors receive a free issue. And then we have a short reading of the contributors.
Wow, that sounds pretty neat. And you said you have a website.
It's i70.fieldinfoserve.com.
Wow, okay. So if our listeners were interested, that's where they could go to find
it. Yeah, or just Google I-70 Review, and it's just I-70 Review. I missed that. i70review.fieldinfoserve.com.
I'm taking that you're also writers yourself.
Yes, we both do. I'm a poet. He's a poet.
So how long have you been doing that yourself?
Pretty much my whole life. I think probably I wrote my first poem when I was about 7.
Okay.
But, you know, of course, as a writer, since my 20s, really.
Okay, I see. So in yourself, Greg?
Same thing. I started writing poems and short stories when I was in grade school. And then I got better, I started being more serious about it.
Yeah, now we've got books out, so we take ourselves more seriously.
I see, I see. What kind of writing, you say you did poetry, what kind of writing do you do? Is it, I'm just trying to guess, give us a little idea of what your writing, your work is like.
I have some pretty common themes.
Okay.
I do a lot of writing about family. I'm from an Italian heritage, and so I capture my culture of my family. My father always says, don't forget your roots, and so that is always reflected. The last book that I put out was called Poof, and it was a collection of poems about my Aunt Mary, who had one foot in Italy and one foot here, and they're humorous, at the same time that they have an undertone of what it's like to be in a nursing home when you're not mentally ill. I also write a number of poems about students. I've taught for many years, and that's another common theme. And I also have a love of nature, so I have a number of poems about animals and nature, and those are probably the most predominant ones.
How about you, Craig?
Well, the most recent book that I had come out is called Blackheart, and it deals with my Native American roots, and also having grown up in Anchorage, Alaska, and traveled all over the U.S. from being born here and then ending up in Alaska and coming back again, and also write about one of my big loves is sailing. Mm-hmm. And taking boats out into Lake Superior and under the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's
and
an ocean.
Yeah.
So how did you find yourself in Kansas City?
Well, I've found myself in Kansas City many times.
Okay, I get you.
I came through and went. I spent a lot of time in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I went to school there briefly and sort of hung out there for a while and then came back. And it was interesting when Watney was in here, because I remember I got my my master's in painting and art history at UMKC, and when they were just thinking about getting that gallery going again, and it was interesting to hear him list all the people involved, of none of who I recognized at all. So you can tell that was many moons ago.
So are you a Kansas City native yourself?
I've been here my whole life, born in Kansas City, and never lived. I've spent periods of time in other places, but I've never actually picked up my roots and moved anywhere else.
I see. So if you just tuned in, we're talking to Mary Frances Wagner and Greg Field, and we're discussing the new issue of the I-70 Review, and they're having it at the Writer's Place Friday, September 30th. And we've given the address out before. It's 3607 Pennsylvania. Casey Moore is just down here in Midtown. So it's a really neat building. It's a beautiful building. So it lends itself well to what you're doing.
Yes, and they can find more information as well on writersplace.org and check on the calendar of events. It's listed there as well, all of the Writer's Place programs, which is a great venue to be able to have this event.
Wow, this is a neat thing. And the I-70 Review, say a listener wasn't able to attend the event, where they can get it online at the website and everything like that?
Yes, on the website it tells you how to order a copy. Our office is in Lawrence, and that's where our post office box is too. And they would just order that. They have to pay shipping costs if we mail it.
I see. And this is the fifth year, is that what you said?
This is the fifth year. Greg and I have been co-editors. Gary had it about 3 years before that.
Okay. 3 or 4 years, yeah.
And I'm guessing it keeps growing every year. It keeps getting bigger.
Yes. We keep saying we can't make a bigger issue this year because it's getting harder to find envelopes.
It's not an issue. It's a book.
Yeah, it's a whole book.
It's bound, you know.
But our principle is not to have, okay, we're going to fill 80 pages. We just select the work that we like. And of course, every editor has an editorial taste. But to get in the magazine, it takes 3 votes out of 4 of us. And so sometimes we lose some of the things we like, but we feel that's the fairest way to go about it. And we don't limit. We just read until the end, and however many poems we've selected, and we usually let people know within a month. That's how long the issue is. So
you're not. It's not 25 or 50. It's just
right.
However many we choose.
However many we really love, and but as Gary says, it's getting harder to find an envelope that it fits. So for mailing purposes.
We might have some old ones here. People ship us CDs all the time. So that really fits in here. But yes, that is really neat. That is neat. And have you ever found, on a personal level, have you ever like read a poem or something and just been stunned?
Oh, yes, often. Yes. So. And love it and want it. And sometimes, you know, we have a little bit difference in taste, and what one of us will love, another won't.
Right.
And so we fight for it. But you pick your battles.
Right.
You can't always win.
Right, yeah. That kind of happens. You've experienced the same thing probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are a few times when we just spent nearly half an hour just fighting over one or two poems. You have to take this. No, I don't like that.
Well, you see the referee here. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, since there are four of us and you have to have three, it sort of settles it.
Yeah, sometimes you are lobbying each other.
Yeah, and we'll
you've
got to
join me. Come on in here.
Yeah, but sometimes we'll still get the no nod. And they do the same thing. I mean, it's like all of us will have something we love and want, but a lot of the times we are in agreement.
Right. So, yeah, so if you just tuned in, we're talking to Mary Frances Wagner and Greg Field of the I-70 Review, and they've got an event coming up, and it's Friday, September 30th at 7 p.m., and we're getting all the details. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners before you
can? We just hope that you'll want to come out and see what we do and meet some new writers.
Okay.
And you don't have to be a writer. You can just come and enjoy the evening and be around writers.
Be there for the reading, and that will definitely give you a taste of what's in the magazine and what we tend to choose, what our editorial leanings are.
Right.
You can learn by listening to the people read from their work in the magazine. That's what got published.
Sounds pretty neat. Once again, thank you for coming in and taking your time.
Thank you for having us.
Very much.
So it's kind of nice. This is my maiden voyage to fill in for Art Speak Radio. So
thank you, John.
Next up, we have Charles. I'm going to play a couple spots, and then I'll be back in a minute with our next guest. If you just tuned in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I'm filling in for Maria Vasquez-Boyd here on Art Speak Radio for this edition, and we've been talking to some guests. We got our next guest up from the Kansas City Authors Club, Mark Scheel. Welcome to KKFI.
Yes, thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be here.
It's nice to be here. And tell us, you've got this thing coming up in Lawrence, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. Basically, this is the annual Kansas Authors Club convention. Mm-hmm. It's being held in Lawrence at the Doubletree Inn, and that's on 200 McDonald Drive in Lawrence. If someone were coming from Kansas City and taking the turnpike, you would take the second exit, and it's right there beside the toll booth. It's easy to find. It's the annual convention, Kansas Authors Club. It's there are seven districts in the Kansas Authors Club, and every year one district sponsors the convention. And this year it's District 2, of which I am a member, and so that's why it's being held in Lawrence. I am a writer myself, and I've been a member of the Kansas Authors Club 30 years now. I'm getting long in the tooth here, and it's been a wonderful organization to belong to. Many talented writers. There are some that are beginners. There are some that are more readers than writers. But you get a great mix of people, and if you are writing, you can get wonderful feedback on what you're doing. Now, the convention, the Friday evening, it will begin with a reading and an author signing. Now, I'm going to be managing the book room, and this will be books that Kansas authors have published. Many of them will be there, and you'll have the opportunity, if you see one you like and buy it, you can get it autographed by the author Friday evening. And then Saturday is the day for the workshops. And we've got some terrific writers that are presenting things. First of all, James Gunn, who is a famous science fiction writer who taught at KU, he will be doing a workshop on Saturday morning. And then I will be doing a workshop. I had published a book a year ago that is a collection of my blogs, and I'm going to be doing a workshop or a presentation on how to blog and then turn that later into a book, which is called, by the way, a Blook, B-L-O-O-K. A lot of people don't know that. It's a cutting-edge genre here.
It's a typo. Interesting.
Then we're going to have the banquet will be Saturday evening, and the Kansas Poet Laureate, Eric McHenry, will be the keynote speaker, and they will be presenting awards there at the banquet. Then Sunday, there will be workshops in the morning, and then there will be a luncheon. And the former, where you had Greg Field speaking in the former spot, he will be there with his The River Cow Orchestra.
Oh, sure,
and
sure,
doing, great. We're looking forward to that. And he'll be entertaining that on Sunday. So that's a quick overview of what it is.
I get it. And so, like you said, the Kansas Authors Club, and it's the convention is in Lawrence at the DoubleTree, and it runs from September 30th through October 2nd. I think we were talking about, is it all ages?
Yes, basically it is. The Kansas Authors Club likes to encourage youth. Okay. So we have some older members and we have some very young. Now, on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, that is the block where they have the Youth Awards. And this is where they have sponsored contests for grade schoolers up through high school all over the state. And, well, it's all over, but it's primarily the submit from the state. That's where they give the awards to the winners. And the kids really love it. They look forward to it. And that's our future writers of America there, you know.
You've got the Kansas Authors Club. I'm looking at notes. It says it started in 1904. It's gone.
1904. Wow. The Kansas Authors Club is one of the oldest.
More than 100 years old.
Yes.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. One of the oldest writers groups of its kind of a state group. There's some city group. There's a group in Topeka that was formed, I believe, in 1885. That's a group, a city group. But this is a statewide, and then we also have members from all over the country, actually. So now people who are coming in can register on Friday, and I've got a breakout here of for the full convention, including three meals, would be $125 per person. The Saturday workshops and the banquet only would be $85. And the Sunday workshops and the banquet only would be $40. Okay. And then if someone comes who is a writer and has a spouse that comes with them, then they can they don't have to pay for the workshops. But anyway, yes, it's a marvelous opportunity for anyone that if they're just readers who want to come and hear the readings and get purchase copies and have authors sign them. It's a marvelous opportunity and visit with the authors. It's a lot of fun to talk.
It sounds like a great event, and it's up in Lawrence, obviously. And you said that you had regions or districts, seven in Kansas?
There are seven districts, right. Okay. It's divided up basically the way the political districts are. How they did it. Uh-huh.
And then I imagine somebody's in charge of each district, and then you kind of come together. And
at the state, each district, they have their own programs and meetings, mm-hmm. and structure them a little different ways, what they want to emphasize. But then at the convention, they all come together then annually at the convention. And then they have their business meeting and all, you know, to decide on state matters, because it is a nonprofit group and they have bylaws and everything. You know how that's structured. So, yeah.
That sounds like neat. And if a listener heard about this and they wanted to get involved and look it up on the website or anything like that.
Yeah, it's www.kansasauthors.org. Now, they can go there and that it will have information about the Kansas Authors Club. Mm-hmm. It will have news. It will have new information about the membership, the members. And then it also has a hot link you can click on for the convention.
Okay.
And that will open up the page, and there you get the program, all the different speakers. You get the different programs will be presented and the times and all the information will be there on that.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty neat stuff. And how long have you been involved with it? So?
I've been involved with it about 30 years now.
That's right. You were saying that long.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a really neat thing. And like we're saying, we're talking to Mark Scheel from the Kansas Authors Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and sounds like a really neat event.
Mm-hmm. It's Mark Scheel. It's like the Scheels in the plaza, except they're not my. I always say they're not my relatives. I wish they were.
Mark
Scheel, interesting. But Scheel, Scheel. Uh-huh.
And that's in the DoubleTree, and it's a 200 McDonald Drive in Lawrence, Kansas. So when you take the second exit, is that right?
Second exit. Uh huh.
So, and if you just tuned in, we're talking to Mark Scheel. He's one of the from the Kansas City Authors Club. We're getting all the details about this event coming up September 30th through October 2nd up in Lawrence, and getting all the background of it and where you can find it, the website and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to fill our listeners in.
Not any particular thing that I think of, except I think like I said, it for youth, for readers, and all genres are there: fiction, poetry, memoir. There will be writers talking on all those genres. So it's a marvelous opportunity. Whatever your tastes are in literature, it's a marvelous opportunity to go and enjoy yourself for a weekend.
Wow, it sounds really neat. So once again, thank you for coming in and sharing the information with us. And good luck with your event this weekend. So
thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Okay. Been a pleasure having you. And once again, thank you to Maria Vasquez Boy for allowing me to fill in. This is John Todd. So it's been Art Speak Radio, and I believe she'll be back next week. So once again, thanks, and we hope you have a great week. And next up is jazz with Jeff Hartsberger. So.